Not 2 for 2 so far. I am on a winning streak, honey. That's obviously me snapping. Or would it technically be 2 out of 5, given the fact that obviously Monday through Friday is 5 days? Not that I'm like some type of mathematician. But anyways, good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. It's Andrew DeVitri, the Mistress of Pop Culture, here to deliver you our second story of the week. This week has been chaotic AF. Not only because of the Kanye, Kim, and Pete of it all, but the fact that I am back after a month-long sabbatical slash hiatus slash just a little vocal rest, because, you know, after 550 episodes, I just need a little, you know, a little breather. I need to lie down, even though, in fact, I was busier than ever on my time off, as I mentioned before my last episode. But it's been a great and wonderful and robust, busy, chaotic journey back here today with just so much to talk about, given the fact that literally it's been 24 hours since we last sat down and chatted. But that's what makes my job fun and what makes my job not easy, but it makes it, you know, a bit more exciting for me to divulge in all the salacious, juicy, hot topics of the week, in the words of our queen, Wendy Williams, who I say a little prayer to every day, in the words of Madonna. Life is a mystery. What is that song called? Like a prayer? I like literally love that song so much. Sometimes I like dip and tap my toe to it when I'm in the shower. But most of the times when I'm in the shower, I listen to my favorite podcast, Heather McDonald's Juicy Scoop, because literally it gets me through, which, by the way, it's Tuesday, which means Heather McDonald's Juicy Scoop episode is out, which I'm living for. But anyways, I have lots to chat with you guys about. But before I get into all that, I want to give a shout out to two fabulous people, Adam and John, or Josh. They're twin brothers, and they work at two very high-end boutiques here in LA. One is Chanel, one is Hermes. And I went shopping with my bestie today, who is a queen shopaholic and or influencer who loves, you know, high-end goods. And we went to both those boutiques because he had some stuff to pick up, which was really fun because I love a shopping day. And I actually prefer to go shopping during the week because on the weekends, you know, LA's a tourist destination. There's just, you know, an influx of tourists and whatnot going to all the shops, and you have to wait in lines. But now, given the fact that, you know, we're post-pandemic and with all the crazy thievery and, you know, the supply chain demands and, you know, lack of inventory, you have to make appointments to go to these stores. So that's what we did. We went to one on Robertson, and we went to the other one on Rodeo Drive, which was, you know, so much fun. And it's really weird because every time I go to Rodeo Drive, I go to Robertson a lot because I live right there. But every time I go to Rodeo Drive, which you know what it is if you don't even live in LA, it's like, you know, Pretty Woman Rodeo Drive, I'm always like, why don't I come here, even if I'm not here to shop, just like walk around, window shop, get a coffee, see all the fabulous iconic women that are just like wearing stilettos and carrying their Birkin bags or Chanel bags and their G-Wagons, Porsches, Ferraris. It's definitely like a very fun thing. Now, I get not everybody is like super materialistic and or into flashy cars, but like, you missing out, girl, because I literally love that stuff, because it's just like, you know, if you can't be fabulous, then, like, why exist at all? But that's, like, a symptom of living in LA. Like, when I'm not in LA and I'm, like, you know, back east, I'm more normal. I'm like, oh, okay. I have to, like, remind myself. I'm, like, checking myself, girl. Like, check it. Who can check me, boo, in the words of Shrey Whitfield? But that's pretty much what I did on Monday, which was very fun. Obviously, I did some ticking and talking, and now I'm sitting here with you in bed, podcasting, as I'm about to watch the finale of Inventing Anna on Netflix, which is just the most iconic series ever. So, that's that on that. So, anyways, without any more diddling or daddling or dawdling, let's talk about what's going on. So obviously we all woke up on Monday to the whirlwind Kanye, Kim, Pete, Davidson saga that's ongoing and never ending. And basically, okay, I'm just going to get right into it. Let me pull up, let me see if Ye still has it on his gram, his grid gram. Oh, he does. Oh, he's posting more. He just posted 29 minutes ago. Okay, we have a lot to talk about. Okay, sorry, I'm literally just getting news as I look at it. Okay, so Kanye posted a photo this morning. Basically, this is what it was. It's an image on his Instagram of little pins of one is Kim, one is a green alien, and one is of Kanye West. Basically, what Kanye said was, this was on my daughter's backpack when I was, quote, allowed to see her last week. This is why I go so hard for my family. I am wired to protect my family at all costs. As the priest of my home, don't worry, Northie, God is still alive. As we all know, and as I've been reporting, Kanye is very much a spiritual and religious man, which I love. It's great. You know, he has a faith that he follows, as do millions of people. So he posted about that. But it's what Kim posted in a now deleted comment on that photo. I don't know if Kanye deleted it or Kim deleted it. But basically, she responded to that photo and wrote this: "Please stop with this narrative. You were just here this morning picking up the kids for school." And literally everybody was living for it. It was like a clapback of all clapbacks, honey. It was like, oh, snap. Don't even. And then basically, Kanye then reposted some publication that posted what Kim had posted on his comment. Lots of posting here. Which again, to reiterate, was, quote, "Please," and the picture is of her and him, both flattering photos, in my opinion, with a little quote blur below that says, "Please stop with this narrative. You were just here this morning picking up the kids from school." And Kanye's post says this, like, the caption of the photo says this: "Okay, Okay Magazine." Oh, I guess Okay Magazine was the one who, was the publication who posted this. "What did you mean, wild claims? Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. My kids were not allowed to go to Sunday service yesterday, and there's multiple times where the schedules were changed last minute, which alienated me as a parent, which is illegal. Thank God my family has been broken. My name has been dragged and dropped. The boyfriend been trying to play with me since SNL skits. I was called a stalker by random has-beens. Ooh. There's multiple attempts to gaslight me. Skeet called this, quote, legally single person my wife. I am not ramped up. I successfully avoided doing anything that would give them reason to put a restraining order on me. She think it's funny to try and drive me over the edge, but I didn't let them. Y'all can't judge my state of well-being based on the amount of time I leave an Instagram post up or me using my platform to ensure that I stay consistent in my children's lives." A lot of baby mamas play like this across the world, but nobody finna play with me or my children. I know that Kim and Skeet are pawns in a bigger game. Lord forgive them. I made those videos because she ignored my text about bringing my children to church, then had her boyfriend text me and brag about being in bed with, quote, my wife, then tell me, quote, he could help me. Okay. And then a third post says, and this is a screen grab of something Perez Hilton posted, iconic Perez Hilton. And the headline of Perez's article is Kim Kardashian lashes out at Kanye West over his latest lies, to which Kanye responded, "What did I lie about? I am, quote, allowed to see my kids. Y'all so mad that I can't be written off as an abuser or stalker. Y'all so mad that Skeet showed who he really is right before the Hulu's trailer dropped. I'm not a bad guy. Kim's not a bad person. Kids want parents to stay together, but Hulu needed a new narrative." Okay, so before I get into the post that Kanye just posted, I just have to say this. Yes, the Hulu dropped for their new series, and it looks iconic. It looks great. It looks like Courtney and Travis want the bebe. Kendall and Kylie are doing their things. Kim is, you know, talking about Pete and Chloe and Tristan, whatever. The drama of it all, which I really can't wait for. I think that Kanye is going to do everything, even though Kim is legally single. He's upset. I personally, this is what I interpret. This is my opinion. As someone who has OCD, I think Kanye West has OCD for sure. Yay, whatever he calls himself. Because he's fixated on this subject of Kim with Pete. Like, it's really driving him bonkers. And I said this yesterday when I was talking about the videos I was watching via his social media. It's clear that Ye West is a woman on the verge of a nervous breakdown. He's not a woman, obviously. I'm alluding to the fact that that's a famous, you know, piece of literature. But basically what I'm saying is, he's very emotional about this all, rightfully so, because obviously divorce is very heavy. And a lot of the comments that I'm seeing on his videos, of the Shades Room videos, of comments by celebs videos, basically any video and or screen grab of everything, the exchange that's been going on between them, is basically that this is welcome to divorce. Welcome to co-parenting, how difficult it is. Kanye is really having a difficult time maybe adjusting to life as a co-parent. It can't be easy, and I can't even imagine how difficult it is. And this is all the more reason why I will never, ever be legally single. And I know I'm putting that into the world, and like, if I ever did get married, you're going to be like, you're such a hypocrite. But you know what? I can't. It's so stressful, and it breaks my heart for all parties. And it's just so unfair also to Kim that Kanye will not stop being so public about it. And it's so blatantly obvious that the reason he's doing this is because he's, you know, whatever. But anyways, Kanye posted, actually 35 minutes ago, an Instagram screen grab that is a photo of Us Weekly posting a photo of him and Kim. And it said, his caption says, "Us Weekly, my kids were not allowed to come to Sunday service. This is the fifth time she did this, trying to had light me. What? What the hell is wrong with you godless people? She say I took my kids to school and y'all forget that she just didn't let my kids come to church." And then he posted another photo, which is a photo of his Instagram of the backpack with the pins on them, and said this: "This is the post I was bashed for. Tell me how to be the best dad when the mom is trying to shit on you after not letting you see your kids. And I love how I have no celebrity, quote, friends that will speak on my behalf. Y'all just watching. Okay, cool. Oh my God, I'm going to look at the comments of this one to see. Yeah, because Beyonce and Jay-Z, and I assume that's who he's alluding to, are not going to stand up for this nonsense because they're high-class people who don't have time for childish games. Cut. Okay. And then the third thing he posted 8 minutes ago, which I don't even know what this is some screen grab, the hip-hop wolf. Consequence comes to Kanye's defense and makes it clear that Kanye is a great father. Kanye is a, quote, girl dad. North is his firstborn. Essentially, he's just here to protect her. That should be respected no matter what. One thing I can say for sure, and not just because of our history, Kanye West is a great dad. He loves his children with all of his heart, and this is becoming painful to watch. Well, yes, I think anyone would agree this is becoming painful to watch, but none of us would even know about it if Kanye didn't make it so public. Kim has been very, very quiet about it all. She's only been responding to everything that Kanye's been doing, asking him to keep everything hush-hush between the family. Kanye's not doing this because, in my opinion, and I think others too, he's acting like a petulant child who's not getting what he wants, which, in this case, is obviously Kim. He has his kids, and Kim has said many times that she has not restricted his visitation. Oh my gosh, I feel like a lawyer here. Restricted his visitation rights to his children, but Kanye's being so public about it, which is like, this is maddening. This is so crazy that I, Andrew Dimitri, a private citizen in the world, know what is going on with two incredibly high-profile people and their four children. It's wrong. It's wrong. And it's like, I know I'm talking about it, but it's because I'm just saying how wrong it is. It's maddening, but this has got to be, like, figured out because it ain't right, girly. It ain't right. Well, that was basically, like, a recap of everything that was going on with all that. But anyways, switching gears to some other stories that are out, actually one of the big stories. Obviously, we all are devastated by the passing of the late, great Bob Saget, but there was an article that was posted today, I believe, via from Page Six via the New York Post. Judge permanently blocks release of Bob Saget autopsy records. A Florida judge on Monday agreed to an order that permanently blocks the release of photos, video, and other records connected to the investigation of Bob Saget's death. The permanent injunction granted by Circuit Judge Vincent Chu had been requested by the comedian's family. The 65-year-old actor died on January 9th after suffering, quote, blunt head trauma, likely from a fall backward at the Ritz-Carlton Orlando Grand Lakes in Florida, an autopsy revealed. Saget suffered a fracture to the base of his skull, fractures around his eye sockets, a cut to his scalp, and bleeding between the brain and tissue covering the brain, according to an autopsy report. His death was ruled accidental, and authorities have said there were no signs of foul play or drugs at the scene. There were no signs of illicit drugs or toxins in Saget's body, according to the toxicology report. Now, I know many people have been wondering, like, how Bob had this terrible accident, how he fell, or how he hit his head, because as far as many of us knew, he was not a user of any type of substances, and the autopsy literally says right there was nothing in his bloodstream or whatever. But people, you know, I've heard many of opinion or, you know, conjecture of, you know, maybe he was in the shower, maybe he went to the bathroom late at night, but he was lying perfectly still in bed when this happened. So it's, I guess, going to be one of the great mysteries of the world, and it's just going to be private, as it should be, because it's, you know, it's a family matter. So maybe this judge here should get involved with Kimmy and Kanye's case so everything can stay private, because we don't need to know about this. But this is, I was actually really happy to read this, and I think rightfully so, that Bob Saget's, you know, details of his passing are private and kept within the family, as they should be. So I wanted to read that to you and update you on all that. Okay, so another story that I read that was really interesting, which I'm sure is other places too, but the particular, carrier of this story is from TooFab, you know, the website that always pops up when you're on TMZ. How Robin Williams steered Matthew Lawrence away from drugs on Mrs. Doubtfire. This is really interesting. Matthew Lawrence recalled an important piece of advice he received from Robin Williams as a child actor. During an appearance at 90s Con, the 42-year-old actor reminisced about the fond memories he had with the late actor and the life lessons he learned from him while shooting Mrs. Doubtfire. Quote, "He was the first adult who really let me in on his condition, like full-on let me in," the Boy Meets World star said per People. Continuing, quote, "I mean, as bright as he was on camera, I would go and visit him in his trailer to talk to him. It was painful for him. It's really painful for him. He didn't hide it. He talked about it." Lawrence spoke of Robin's candidness as a gift. Don't, quote, don't ever do drugs, especially cocaine, Lawrence recalled Williams saying, who passed away in 2014 at the age of 63. quote, he was very serious. He was like, you know, when you come into my trailer and you see me like that, he's like, that's the reason why. And now I'm fighting for this the rest of my life because I spent 10 years doing something very stupid every day. Do not do it. I stayed away from it because of him. The Melissa and Joey actor also revealed that the late actor was largely the reason why he was chosen to star alongside him in Mrs. Doubtfire. Lawrence was actually, quote, a hair away from snagging the role and revealed that he had been the second choice. Quote, there was another strong choice that everybody else wanted. The studio wanted this other boy. I didn't know who it was. I was only 9 years old. But I did start to sense that something was up because there was like this little pause and little awkwardness, and I was the quiet one, he said. However, during their screen test audition, Lawrence revealed that Williams wanted to, quote, do something which helped him become the studio's top choice. He very secretly reached behind my back and pinched me so hard, he said as he tried to mimic the sound. The studio started bawling and wept. I got the role because of that little moment over the other boy. It was all Robin Williams. I know what I'm going to do to get this kid the job. Thank you, Rob. Now, Mrs. Doubtfire is one of my favorite movies of all time, of course, because I'm obsessed with Lydia Doubtfire, who's the daughter. Sally Field, of course, Robin Williams, Mara Wilson. It's such a good movie. That's actually the first one that I ever heard Barbara Streisand's "Don't Tell Me Not to Live, Just Sit and Putta." You know, iconic. And then, of course, when I think of that song, I think of Lea Michele. But anyways, what an inspiration. And I know it's been made public that Robin Williams struggled with substance abuse, but he used his power and his celebrity clearly for good to share with this young up-and-coming actor about the danger of getting involved in illicit substances, which is, you know, heartwarming. So rest in peace, Robin Williams. We miss you. You would be doing wonders still right now, I can only imagine. This brings us to our final story of the day. Somebody who's become quite public, again, which I'm really happy to read about because she's doing really well, and that is, of course, the one and only iconic Nickelodeon star. To me, she's always going to be Marianne from Easy A. Amanda Bynes explains why a director once told her she looked like a, quote, monster. Okay, I read this on Instagram and I was, like, taken aback that I literally almost passed out. What this girl wants is for people to understand why she lights her Insta the way she does. Amanda Bynes has starred in some of Hollywood's hottest films, including Easy A, Hairspray, and What a Girl Wants. But on March 13th, the 35-year-old actress took to Instagram to reveal, one particularly harsh note she once got from an unnamed director. Quote, "The reason I don't usually look great in paparazzi pictures is because I'm squinting in the sun," she explained in the caption of a selfie video. Quote, "The videos and pictures I post are in a flattering light, or in the shade outside without the sun blasting into my face." She continued, quote, "I once did a movie where the director told me that in certain lights I looked like a monster. In the video, Amanda showed off her glowing skin, groomed eyebrows, and pouty lips, along with a black graphic t-shirt. The Nickelodeon alum sported a septum piercing in her now signature facial heart tattoo, which she recently explained she is in the process of removing. She activated her new Instagram account earlier this month after filing to terminate her nearly decade-long conservatorship controlled by her mother, Lynn Bynes, which was put in place following her 5150 psychiatric hospitalization in 2013. By the way, I gotta say, Amanda Bynes looks glowing in these photos. Her eyebrows look amazing. Her eyes are glowing. Her lips are fabulous. I love Amanda Bynes. I've always been such a big fan of hers, and it was obviously really hard to see her going through what she went through back in her New York City days, you know, running around, calling herself Nadia and whatnot. But she's iconic. She is one of those girls who is, like, supremely talented at her craft and just, you know, went a different path in life, which, you know, people grow up and people change. And I think we have to normalize change. And I think these young girls used to have so much pressure on them that they would have to express their artistic expression in different ways because they were, you know, if, like, to quote Christina Aguilera, genies in bottles, baby, which ain't okay these days. But anyways, love Amanda Bynes and love to be reading about her and love to see that she's living her best life and she's happy. So, and her parents are on board with her requesting for her conservatorship to be terminated, which is incredible. You know, look at that. What almost 9 years will do. So, yes, girly, yes. Anyways, everybody, that is our Tuesday episode of the Mistress of Pop Culture. I literally love chitting and chatting, and I gotta give a huge shout out to Kanye West for giving me a lot to talk about, even though, you know, it's stressful as hell. And I love Kimmy Gay and Pete Davidson, so that's that on that. All right, everybody, have a fabulous day. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. You can stream my podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Castbox Radio, iTunes, podcast app on the iPhone, basically anywhere where the podcasts stream on your phones or cells or iPads or computers or whatever the hell you want to, you know, stream it on. I hope you all are, like, living your best best life, and I'll chat with you guys later. XOXO, Gossip Girl.